Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 13 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Another very red day yesterday. Although, to be quite clear, we closed well off the lows. We were down, 3.5% at one point. So we'll talk that. And Disney results. We chatted Netflix earlier in the week with Henry Biddlecombe. Let's chat at Disney. Sean Welsh from Carp Agri, talking results, but a broader conversation as well. Current state of the agri sector in South Africa. And then my thoughts on leisure stocks as they trade back below pre-Omicron levels. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: how Checkers 60-60 dominates the on-demand grocery market and just how far behind Pick and Pay and Woolies really are. Business Day, 10x purchase of Core Shares will create an index tracking specialist. The deal will have broader investment business, combined assets of about $31 billion. That news came out late yesterday afternoon. Big story. We're going to chat with Gareth Stobie on Monday about the impact for Core Shares clients. Morning markets, US was red, but they both closed well off the lows. S&P and Nasdaq down 0.1%. Asia's green. Sydney up 1.7%. Tokyo up 2.6%. Commodities red overnight. Gold, $1,824. Brent, $108.84 a barrel. That's the only green on the screen there. Platinum, $943. Palladium, $1,954. It's been a long time since palladium was below 2,000. Rand, 16 Rand. Bitcoin, a bit of a bounce, 30,350. Top 40, green open, about 660 points. That's almost 1%. That is Tencent trades up 3.1% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager, Rand Swiss. Gary, always appreciate the early morning time. I want to touch Disney, but let's first touch markets. I mean, at one point yesterday, we were down, almost 3.5%. We closed well off those lows. What we're seeing is a massively volatile market that is trending down. I mean, how are you and your team managing this? I mean, you can't be hiding under the desks because clients are phoning. They want help. They want advice. They want to buy or sell.
No, absolutely. This is always the busiest time for us. I mean, I think we're very fortunate that our clients are, I think we hopefully sell in the right way. So our clients, you know, when they're sitting in equity portfolios, they expect volatility. They expect to need to take a long-term view. They, and generally you're trying to buy the best quality companies. So we haven't fortunately been very exposed, certainly on the discretionary side, to the YOLO stocks and the meme stocks. Mm-hmm. So it's not the kind of stuff that we buy. So we're not kind of facing what I think a lot of retail investors are facing at the moment when they're looking at some of the, you know, the more exciting kind of, if you want to call them, ARC stocks, which are down well over 70%. You know, we follow a blended approach in our discretionary management. So, you know, we've got a good chunk of value along with the couple of growth stocks that we do hold. So I think we've fared okay from a discretionary point of view, but absolutely. I mean, we run a retail stockbroker as well. So everyone wants to know what's going on. And you just get the sense that, you know, interestingly, when I chat to the banks, so if I'm chatting to the sell side and that they're looking at the market at the moment and just saying, this is not going to end. I mean, there's kind of that almost depression, but there's the sense that we're going to be going sideways for a long time, that they can't really see the way out of the problem. Now, on the retail side, however, it's a little bit different. A lot of guys looking at their portfolio, looking at this and seeing it as an opportunity. The calls have more been, you know, to deploy more capital and almost, you know, try and switch if they do have, I suppose lower quality stocks to go and try and find opportunities that are going to recover more quickly. So almost moving to slightly more high beta stocks. So of course you do get that kind of portfolio churn whenever there's volatility, on kind of a stockbroking desk. But yeah, there's no question it's scary out there. I mean, this is the second worst start, to certainly the S&P 500 since 1932.
I know.
Worst 91 trading days, almost in history.
I'm old, but even 1932 is goes way back for me. But I take your point. I mean, it's scary. Make no bones about it. It's volatile. But also, there's some opportunity. I mean, I'm looking at a drawdown chart of the top 40. It's not looking so bad, truthfully. But I remember some of those drawdowns, and the clever ones were when I went and bought stuff. And not because I called the bottom. I never got that right. But because 2, 3, 5 years later, the prices I paid made me look like a genius. Let's quickly touch on Disney. We've spoken, me and you, before Disney. We've spoken Netflix. Netflix is having a horror period. You know, I think we're down 70-odd% from those highs. Disney results, Disney Plus doing well, their parks, recreational products, revenue more than doubling. That, if I recall, was your preferred between the two, and it really is holding out.
Yes, I suppose, we chatted about Netflix versus Disney on the show a while ago, and I think if you're taking a pair, you'd be about 50% up with no leverage. that doesn't help you when you're still down 32% year-to-date. No one takes comfort in a relative win when you're still down. But as you say, I mean, Disney, you know, if you're looking for the recovery-type stocks, and it's one of the questions that we're getting a lot on the desk, is what can I buy now that is very, very high quality, that, you know, it's almost definitely, you know, it's not going to face any sort of credit event, they're not going to go out of business, and will recover quickly if things start to turn around. And I think Disney is probably one of them. So, you know, looking at the results, of course, they, you know, it's difficult to compare the periods, just because, you know, they were particularly hard hit by COVID, especially if you're looking at Disney as an opportunity in streaming, if you're comparing it to something like Netflix, because obviously they have that big parks business underneath it as well. And, you know, when COVID hit, parks closed, but Netflix benefited. So a little bit difficult to compare the two directly, but if you just look at the Disney Plus service, I mean, doing absolutely brilliantly. I mean, subscriber numbers coming in ahead of expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're up to 137.7 million for fiscal second quarter. That was ahead of estimates, which is a very different picture again from Netflix, which was losing subscribers again, partly because they shut, they shut their Russian business, which lost about I think 700,000 subscribers there. But, you know, it looks like subs are doing well. You know, looking at earnings per share and revenue, decent numbers there as well. I mean, adjusted earnings per share coming at 1.08. And overall, it just looks like a solid business. It's got that stability coming from parks. And again, there is impact in the parks, especially in Asia. So mm-hmm. that was one of the things that came through the results. You know, Hong Kong Disneyland and Shanghai Disneyland were closed. Hong Kong Disneyland has since opened on the 21st of April, but Shanghai remains closed just because of that very aggressive zero COVID policy coming out of China. But overall, it looks like a very good quality company doing the right things and managing to almost win this content war that's going on.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, I take your point. I mean, Disney is just, there's still some COVID issues there, but they are the giant in the business. And yeah, I mean, they've got Star Wars, for goodness sake. Can't argue with that. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss. As always, appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. We chatted Netflix earlier in the week. We chatted Disney today. Do you have a preference between the two? Disney, Netflix, maybe both, maybe a bit of neither. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Sean Walsh, Co-op Agri CEO. Results to 6 months ending March. It saw revenue up 26.7%, recurring headline earnings up 15%, dividend up 15%. Sean, appreciate the time today. You going through the numbers, listening to your presentation, you're well ahead of pre-pandemic levels. In part, the agricultural sector, I imagine, has helped it as well. But going through the numbers, efficiencies that you've picked up over the 2 years of pandemic certainly also benefit the group.
Most definitely, Simon. Some of the operational and expenditure savings that we were able to implement in the COVID year 2020, we've been able to make permanent in the business, and that's probably why our growth for the half year over pre-COVID half year is 42%. Yeah.
Turning to some of the pieces that you're seeing, you are seeing, and I mean, I've chatted with some other folks in the retail space, people in the broad farming community, certainly seeing high inflation, fuel, fertilizer, commodities. I mean, are people shopping less as a result? I mean, imagine in the farming space, for example, they need the fertilizer almost regardless.
Absolutely, Simon. So what we're seeing in the agricultural side, a farmer needs to produce. He needs to then package that product in a carton or a bag and sell it on the market. So he unfortunately has to get through this high inflationary cycle no matter what. Whereas on the retail side, obviously with the high fuel prices, we are definitely seeing a dampening effect on the commuter traffic. So conservative traveling out there for consumers. And as well, with more people going out now in the evenings, it would seem that the QSR side's picking up versus the DIY, which is dipping off.
Let's touch on that DIY. We certainly saw a massive boom, not just with yourself, but of course the specialized such as Cash Build and the like. And all indications are, yeah, we spent that first year in lockdown and we got tired of staring at the cracked tile or, you know, flaking paint. Since we've fixed those tiles, we've painted the walls, and that DIY boom has sort of reverted back to normal.
Yes, I think when we say DIY boom, I think the boom's actually over. And the latest quarter being January to March, most role players were actually negative on their sales year on year. We were still fortunate that we were 7.5% up on those DIY like-for-like categories. But certainly, as we're speaking, it's coming off more and more. So I really think that all these inflationary pressures in the market are having a general effect on consumer out there.
Yeah, I want to come to that in a moment. But grain services, another area very strong, obviously helped fairly significantly by the wheat harvest being experienced right now. What's your expectation for the second half of this financial year and then for FY23 in terms of crop harvests from the community?
So we sort of in the halfway through the fruit season. The first half, grapes were great. The guys did struggle to get the exports out the harbour. But needless to say, so we expect apples, pears and citrus to have a record volume year. But bumper volumes aren't going to necessarily mean bumper prices on the farm. So unfortunately, latter half of this year, our farmers are also going to feel the income pressures on farms, and their expendable income will be lower than a year ago. And we've spoken about the general retail, that's certainly going to be under pressure.
I mean, I imagine the farmers, they're getting the bumper crops, but the input costs, fertilizer, we touched on that, that is hurting. Does that impact, I imagine, I mean, perhaps farm irrigation? You've got your irrigation sector. Don't sort of general infrastructure spending by farmers, they're going to pull back on that, I imagine, as they get the input squeeze?
Yes, so I think the farmers have been through 2-3 years of growing volumes, a weak exchange rate, and relatively stable input costs. They have been investing largely in that period with any excess expendable income. And this is one of those years where they'll go back into survival mode and they will curtail their capital expenditure on their farms to a large degree.
You've mentioned fuel sales, and certainly, I mean, 2020, they absolutely nosedive. They've started recovering. Are you seeing some pressure? You alluded to it a bit a moment ago in terms of volumes due to the record levels for petrol and diesel.
Absolutely, Simon. So the sector is down between 5% and 8%. Our group is only down 1.3%, but needless to say, down. And that's after investing in more sites and growing the network over the last few years. So the impact is significant. I don't think middle to high income people understand that the impact it's having in the general commuter trade.
And in the fuel business, I mean, obviously there's the margin on fuel, and that is regulated. And I know there's talk about unregulating petrol 93. And in your presentation, you were commenting that at best a non-issue, but at worst a bad idea. Your margins are set. For you, it's probably, I imagine, more about the convenience store and QSR. You mentioned a moment ago, folks are going out a little bit more. That's perhaps where you almost can really push the foot traffic and the volumes.
Absolutely, Simon. So whereas we've seen a pull down on litres, we are still seeing a slow recovery on our convenience store and our QSR trading, even in that same period. So while commuters are travelling less, they are still slowly buying more and more or spending more in the convenience retail space. That's a definite trend we can pick up.
And the PEG fuel retail deal, that's happening, if my memory serves, around mid-year. Certainly it adds a geographic spread in terms of new areas, new routes. How many sites will that add to your capacity?
So currently we've got 44 retail fuel sites, and this PEG deal will add 41, which will take us to 85. Post the deal, they will do well over 500 million litres a year. It sounds like a lot, Simon, but it's still only about 3.5% of the retail fuel sector of South Africa, but significant, yes.
Yeah, significant. A last question, and watching your presentation, your results presentation, the number that absolutely blew me away, impairments on your loan book, and these are loans to farmers, and as I understand it, yeah, farming is lumpy in that I've got costs, but the crop comes at the end of the season when I finally manage to sell it, but of course I got costs leading up to that in terms of, you know, seeds and fertilizer, etc. But you keep your impairments, your in old speak, bad debts to, frankly, what I think is a level which would make the traditional bankers blush.
That is true, yes. Our impairments on our debtors book are on average below 20% for the last 5 years and 10 years. Normally when one talks about it, Simon, something happens. So it's probably better not to brag about it. But look, I think it comes from good management of the customers per se, choosing the customers, giving out the right credit facilities, evaluating the credit and the risk properly, and having your feet on the ground, which I think a lot of commercial banks are withdrawing their feet from the rural areas where we still have that footprint presence in the marketplace.
That was going to be exactly my point. It's old-fashioned credit lending to the sense that you know what's happening in the community. In many cases, you will know the person who's coming to apply for the credit, and you've got the track record, expectations around the harvest. It's that good old-fashioned lending, as you say, in the community.
Sure. We say well over 60% of the evaluation is about who the farmer is and how well he operates, rather than the evaluation itself in terms of risk. Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Sean Walsh, CEO, Co-op Agri. Always appreciate the conversation.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
So some thoughts this week. I want to take you back to 26 November of last year. It was also happened to be a Friday. The evening before, or the day before, news had come out of South Africa about the Omicron variant of the COVID-19, and that evening borders the world over had been shut to South Africans. And our leisure stocks absolutely collapsed. City Lodge below 4 Rand. I think Sun International went below 20 Rand. And I was buying at those points, and I remember chatting a few days later on the show about it, and a lot of folks were like, oh, they missed the opportunity. Well, guess what? You've almost got that opportunity back again. Not quite. City Lodge trading around 4:30, Sun International around 25 ZAR. But here's the thing. The tourism travel is still reopening. I just returned from flights to Europe and back Paris, and flights on the way out 100% full, even on the way back. Few empty seats. Market often gives you a second chance. And this is perhaps your opportunity. I hold City Lodge, Sun International. Of course, there's Soho Sun Gaming, there's Soho Hotels. Those two, less volatile, sort of more trading in a band. But if you felt you missed it last time, perhaps this is the opportunity. Although, as Gary said a moment ago, appreciate it's scary when stocks are falling as they are right now. That's it for today. A poll yesterday, we were asking US inflation, came in at 8.3% for April, down from 8.5% in March, but expectation had been 8.1%. The question we were asking was that 8.5% the peak, or do you think it'll go higher, lower? What's your expectation? A third of you said it's peaked, lower from here. That certainly is the general view out there. I know Wayne McCurry and others are saying sub 4% by the end of the year. About a quarter of you said it's actually going to settle around here, and that perhaps is almost a bigger worry, that inflation just becomes sticky at these very high levels, with half of you saying, nope, inflation is heading higher, double digits, here we come. In which case, the Fed is so far behind the curve, they're going to have to start doing 1% increases at their meetings. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We are live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Tetzler, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. I've got Gareth Stobie. We're talking the 10X core shares deal.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.